Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. We have been talking about world changers the last 3 weeks here, and today we're going to continue that theme, world changers, and today specifically in honor of Memorial Day and these families. And thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Congressman, for being here. It's an honor to have you here, and we do thank God for your sacrifice and for your willingness to allow us to have the freedom that your children bought for us. The Bible teaches us much about being world changers. And the truth of the matter is, we cannot see world change without sacrifice. Without people being willing to stand up and saying, this is right, and I'm willing to fight for the right. I'm willing to stand for that which is right, that which is good. Today, I'd like you to quote this with me. World change happens when people of God choose to sacrifice their own comfort to accomplish a greater cause. Let's say that together. World change happens when people of God choose to sacrifice their own comfort to accomplish a greater cause. Let's do that one more time. World change happens when people of God choose to sacrifice their own comfort to accomplish a greater cause. The idea of sacrifice is not something that is new to an American mind. It is not new to a Christian mind. Certainly, we wouldn't have what we have if it wasn't for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, became a man so that he could sacrifice his life to die to pay the penalty of your sin and my sin. That wasn't the end of the story. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving that he was God. And he showed himself to hundreds of eyewitnesses. And now the Bible says we can go to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did. He gave his life so that to pay for our sin, so that we wouldn't have to pay for our own sin by going to hell. Jesus Christ died in our place, was buried, 3 days later rose from the dead, seen by hundreds of eyewitnesses who wrote the New Testament, and then went back to heaven. The Bible says now all I have to do to get to heaven is come to him and admit that I'm a sinner, ask him to be my Lord and my Savior and my God, and I can know I'm going to heaven. That's a wonderful truth. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. That is sacrifice. And the story of Scripture is filled with those who are willing to sacrifice so that we are to advance a greater cause. Today, we honor those who have made a great sacrifice for our nation. We have freedom in this nation today because of such heroes that have been willing to sacrifice all for us. So today I thought it would be proper to examine someone in Scripture who too was willing to sacrifice much in order for his homeland to be restored. The story of the book of Nehemiah. I'd like you to turn there if you haven't already. Nehemiah chapter 1. Let me read to you briefly this story. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hilkiah. And it came to pass in the month Cheslu, that would be the month of December, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace. He is hundreds of miles away from his homeland. And he's hundreds of miles away from his homeland because 70 years prior to this story, actually about 80 years prior to this story, his homeland was invaded. Israel was invaded by Babylon. And his family was taken captive. He was born as a captive in a foreign land in Babylon. He was raised in that land under foreign rule. His nation had been totally and completely destroyed because of their disobedience to God. God was in a position where he was about to restore it. In fact, God used the prophet Jeremiah to tell the people 70 years or 80 years before that they would be in full captivity for 70 years. They would be taken away. They'd be destroyed. They did not listen to the prophet. And so God allowed the destruction of the nation of Israel. They were taken away, and men like Daniel and Jeremiah, they were taken as captives into the land of Babylon. Babylon fell later to a Persian king, and that Persian king declared after 70 years, just like Jeremiah said would happen, he declared after 70 years that they would be free. They would be freed and they would be allowed to go back into the nation of Israel. And just as Jeremiah said would happen, the people were set free and were allowed to go back to the nation of Israel. They were to rebuild, in fact, according to the declaration of King Cyrus, they were to rebuild the temple where Jehovah God was worshipped. So they went back and they rebuilt the temple, began the rebuilding of the temple. Then they wanted to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But as they began to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, there were those who were enemies of the Jews that were fighting against them, that were destroying them, and they would come and they would wreak havoc amongst the people, so that the people who were sent back to their homeland to rebuild that homeland were being persecuted. That's where Nehemiah comes in. The Bible says, again, that Nehemiah is in Cheslu, in Susan, the palace, hundreds of miles away. He's not one of those who has returned, but he has a heart for his homeland. He has a heart for the freedom of Israel. He has a heart for the things of Israel. The Bible says he was there in the palace that Hanani, one of his brothers, came. He and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Hey, what's going on back in Jerusalem? Is the wall building going on? Is everything going well? And they said unto me, they gave him some bad news. They said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the walls of Jerusalem also is broken down. And the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, he says, when I heard these words, I sat down and I wept and I mourned certain days and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenants and mercies for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive unto thine, and thine eye open, that thou mayest hear the prayers of thy servant, which I pray before thee night and day for the children of Israel, thy servants. And I confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad amongst the nations. He's talking to God now, and he's saying, God, listen, we're in distress, we're having problems, and we realize the reason we're having the problems is because we turned away from you. We turned away from you. We stopped worshiping you as God. We turned away from you, and now we're in distress. Now we're in captivity. But he said, you promised the ancient kings that if your people would repent of their sin and turn from their sin, then you would hear from heaven. But if you turn to me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out to the uttermost parts of heaven, yet will I gather thee from thence and will bring them unto this place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, he says, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, I pray thee hear thy servant this day and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For he says, I was the king's cupbearer. Father, in the next few minutes, I would love to be able to communicate to your people and, Father, to each person here, the truth that is in this story. And I pray, Father, that we might follow the example of Nehemiah, that we might follow the example of these brave men who we have talked about today, of these who have been willing to sacrifice. May we be willing to sacrifice. May we be willing to step up to the plate. May we be willing to do the things that we need to do to accomplish your purpose here. And Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a tremendous story. The Bible tells us here of Nehemiah who has been swept away. He's a captive in a foreign land. He knows that his nation is being rebuilt. He knows things are going good. But when he finally hears the true story, he finds out that his nation is in turmoil. He sees, he hears about the walls being torn down. He hears about the destruction of his nation, and it troubles his heart. He sees bad things going on in his nation, and it grips his heart to the point that he says, somebody's got to do something about that. I want to see three things that we see in the life of Nehemiah that we need to have in our life. First of all, I want you to see this, that Nehemiah saw the need. Nehemiah saw the need. His brother came and told him when he was expecting to hear good news. His brother came to him and gave him bad news. What was the bad news? He said, number one, the people there are in great affliction. The idea is there that they were sick. There was disease, there was poverty. And it wasn't just great affliction. He says they were in reproach. People were laughing at them. They were mocking them. A nation that was great is now being mocked. A nation that is looking to rebuild and become something is being mocked by other nations, by the nations that were around them. This was a nation where from Jerusalem, they ruled that area. And now it was a laughingstock. Now it was being mocked. Nehemiah, who was a soldier, this broke his heart. He was a servant to the king. He was the king's cupbearer, which was a lush job. It was also a dangerous job. He was the man who had to taste the king's drink before the king drank it, because the king had enemies, and you can get in a lot of trouble doing that. But he did that as a soldier. He understood the dangers in his job, and he saw the problems in his homeland, and he was torn. Somebody's got to do something. The people were in great affliction. The work was being mocked. The nation was being mocked. It says this, that the walls were broken down. That was, their defenses were gone. The walls around a city, an Old Testament city, were the defense of that city. When you rip down the walls of a city, you are taking away the defenses of that city. There was no defense. It was now defenseless. And then it says this, that the gates were burned with fire. In the Old Testament cities, it was the gates where the leaders met together. The gates represented leadership. And so this was a place where there was no more leadership. Leadership was gone. Leadership was vacant. And he looks and he sees his people in affliction. He sees his nation in reproach. He sees there is no defense. He sees there is no leadership. And it breaks his heart. I want to say this morning. I look at America today, and I think we are in great affliction. I look at our nation today, and I see the problems in our nation. I see the economic problems that are in our nation and think, God, let somebody step up to the plate and do something about this. I see the fact that our nation, which was admired and respected and, yes, feared just a few years ago. And now we live in a time where people from other nations openly thumb their nose at our nation and mock our nation. We live in a time where our defenses are being taken down, and we live in a time where we need leadership. Nehemiah's day was so much like our day. I want you to see this, that Nehemiah saw the need. We must not be people who stick our head in the sand and say, hey, everything's okay, and pretend that everything is okay in America. I want you to understand in our country today, our values are under attack. I want you to understand in our world today, Christianity is under attack. I want you to understand today that our Bible is under attack. I want you to understand that when we talk about people who have fought for this country, they fought for certain values. They were willing to die for certain values. Values like freedom. Values like family. A real family. A mom and a dad and children. I want you to understand that they were willing to fight and die for faith. And we honor people today who stand for those things. We need to open our eyes and see the need in our country today. As Nehemiah saw the country's need, his country's need. Can you say amen to that? We need to understand that. Number two, what did Nehemiah do? What did Nehemiah do when he saw this horrible thing taking place in his country? What did he do? Well, the Bible says, first of all, he sat down. Well, man, that's what a lot of people are doing. But he didn't sit down just to sit down. It was as though he heard the news and he was gripped with it. And he thought, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Shall we take up arms? What shall we do? Nehemiah did the wisest thing that anyone could do. Nehemiah sought God. It is so important that we understand that this nation was built on people who believed in Almighty God. Can you say amen to that? We have a nation that was founded. We are not the nation of Israel, but we have a nation that was founded on people who believed in the God of the Bible. Nehemiah's people believed in God. Nehemiah's people had forsaken God. And we need to understand in our nation, we live in a nation that is turning its back on God. And we need to be a people who seek the face of God. Nehemiah sought God. The Bible tells us this. The Bible tells us this in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. And Nehemiah mentions this passage while he prays. God told the nation of Israel in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." Nehemiah recognized the problem with his nation, the reason his nation was destroyed in the first place, the reason Almighty God allowed the nation to be invaded was because the nation had forsaken him. And Nehemiah said, "Listen, Father, I understand we've forsaken you. We have walked away from your morals. We've walked away from your teachings. We've walked away from everything. And we're in a mess because of that." And when he recognized the problem, the Bible says he sat down remembering this scripture. He sat down and he wept. And he mourned. And he fasted. And he prayed. He saw the need, and he didn't just immediately jump up and start running off in all directions trying to do something himself. He realized that the only hope for any nation is a nation's reliance upon its God. Can you say amen to that? God wants us to understand in this nation, just as Israel needed to understand, that it doesn't matter what the nation is, if unless that nation recognizes its dependence upon God, then it is a nation that is filled with pride, and a nation that is filled with pride and that doesn't need God anymore will lose the blessings of God and will have the wickedness of this of the God of this world rain down upon us. People ask about why all these things are taking place in our nation today. Why do we have the immorality we have? Why do we have the injustice we have? Why do we have the crime that we have? Why do we have the violence we have? Why do we have the things going on? I want you to understand, God is moving his protecting hand from us. And by the way, the answer to America's problems, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, is not what takes place in Washington, D.C. It's not what takes place in the White House. It's not what takes place in Congress. It's not what takes place in the Senate or in the judicial system. It's what takes place amongst the people of God. And that's you and that's me. For Jehovah God says in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, and Jehovah in the Old Testament is Jesus in the New Testament. Jehovah, Jesus says, if my people, which are called by my name, can one person make a difference? Nehemiah did. Nehemiah saw the need. And Nehemiah got down before God and he wept and he mourned. Can one person make a difference? Nehemiah did. He wept and he mourned and he fasted and he prays, and his prayer is recorded and we're reading it some 3,000 years later. God, my nation is in shambles. God, you said if we humbled ourselves, you said if we prayed, if we sought our face, well, I am praying and I'm seeking your face and I'm turning from my wicked ways. God, I'm asking you to hear from heaven. I'm asking you to forgive my sin. I'm asking you to heal my land. He saw the need. I want you to understand, the only way that you and I have a relationship with Jesus Christ is by coming and seeing our need. We have to come to a point, every one of us, and say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that because I am a sinner, I know that because my sin is sin, I know I am a sinner, and I know I deserve to go to hell. I have a need. I need eternal life, and I can't earn it. There's nothing I can do to get it. You had to come from heaven. You had to come and die in my place. You paid for my sin. You sacrificed all of heaven to come and die in my place. You were buried. 3 days later, you rose from the dead. You did that for me. I see my need. I see that you are the Savior, and the only way I can get to heaven is by putting my faith and trust in you. And I'm calling upon you, and I'm asking you to be my Lord and my Savior and my God. Before God can work in our life, we must see our need. We must call on Him, ask Him to give us eternal life. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When we get saved, His Spirit comes and lives inside of us, and we're able to do things for Him that we could never do by ourselves. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, not call upon the name of the Lord and get baptized, not call upon the name of the Lord and join the church, not call upon the name of the Lord and do good works, but whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have to see the need personally. We have to see the need in our family. And if we're going to see God do anything in our nation, we have to see the need in our nation. We have to see the need. And then we need to go to Him. And we need to plead. We need people of prayer who will pray. But that's not where it ended. That's not where it ended. Look in Nehemiah chapter 2. Because at that point, after he prays, the Bible tells us that Nehemiah stepped up to the task. He didn't just see the need. He didn't just seek the face of God, but he stepped up to the task. The Bible says, and it came to pass in the month Nisan, that is April, so it's gone all the way from December to April now. A matter of 5 months have taken place, or 4 months have taken place. In the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and I gave it to the king. Now, I had not been before sad in his presence. A Christian ought not be someone who is sad. A Christian ought to be one who is rejoicing because the Spirit of God is living inside of him. And so he had a wonderful testimony. He had never been sad in the presence of the king. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? You're not sick. Why are you sad? This is nothing but sorrow of the heart. Then I was very sore afraid. And I said unto the king, let the king live forever. This is a fearful thing to approach a king. Why should not my countenance be sad? When the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, where my fathers and my grandfathers have died, it lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. There's nobody leaving there in my home. And the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? Now note this. He says, so I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, that's balance. He said, so I prayed. I said, okay, Lord, this is the opportunity. I'm asking you to control my mouth. And then he spoke to the king. We need to pray, but then we need to do. And the Bible says, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me to Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulcher, that I may build it. He said, listen, the walls are destroyed. My homeland is gone, where my grandfather is buried and my great-grandfather is buried and all my kinsmen are gone. He said, it's destroyed. It's breaking my heart. Well, what do you want me to let you do about this? I want you to allow me to take control. I want you to allow me to go. He volunteered to go and build the walls. He volunteered to do something. He went leaving his comfort zone. He said, okay, now understand, this is a pretty nice job, even though he has to drink the wine and do the things. It's a nice job that he has. He's in a place, he's living in the palace. He is well taken care of. He said, I'm willing to leave that. I'm so burdened about what's going on in Israel. I'm so burdened about what's taking place in my homeland. I'm willing to leave that all. I'm willing to leave. I don't want to just talk about it. We can whine. We can complain. We can say things aren't going right. But we need to not just be whiners and complainers. We need to be willing to step up to the task. If you read the rest of the book of Nehemiah, and of course we won't do that today, you'll see that when he went there, he had to fight. They fought him tooth and nail, the enemies that were there. They refused. People refused to finance him. They lied about him. They lied about his integrity. They lied. They sent letters back and saying, he's rebelling against you. He's trying to set himself up as king in Jerusalem. They mocked him. When the lies didn't work, they said, what you're doing, you're rebuilding these walls, and these walls will fall down. If a fox comes up and leans against the walls, they're going to fall down. They're useless. And then when that didn't happen, they threatened him. And they said, we'll take your life. But Nehemiah went ahead anyway. He went forward. I want you to understand how important it is that we see the need. We need to see the need in our nation. We need to see the need in our families. We need to see the need in Christianity today. We need to see the need in our world, and we need to be willing to step up to the task. After we go to God, we should be men and women of prayer that are saying, God, look at the things. We can find ourselves as men and women that are complaining about what's going on in this nation and do absolutely nothing about it. We can complain about other people who are trying to make world change. We can whine about the fact that we don't have what we want, or we can say, listen, there have been godly people. There have been people who have sacrificed. There have been people that have gone on before us. They were willing to go. They were willing. They saw the need. They were willing to go. They are our examples. And we need to say, look, we see the need. We need to take that need before the throne of God and say, God, work. Send revival to our land. Send people that care and make me a caring person. Enough for me to say, I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to go forward. I'm willing to do whatever needs to be done to save my family, to save my country, to accomplish the work of Jesus Christ. That's where our heart should be. And I want you to know, as we talk about world changers, we can talk about it all day long. We can sound so good, but nothing changes until somebody says, I'm willing to step up to the task. I'm willing to do something. We have a free country today. We have the freedom to be here today. As I drove to church today, I drove by church after church after church, at least three different churches that believe differently than I do. Nobody came out with a gun and said, you're going to believe the way I believe, or I'm going to take your life. Nobody threatened me. I'm sitting in a place today where we're here in this comfortable place because we have the freedoms. The freedoms we have because somebody said, I'll step up to the plate and I'll defend those freedoms. If God allowed us to see that example, then let us determine that we're going to step up to the plate. We're going to do what God wants us to do. We're going to be what God wants us to be. We're going to stand for God's truth. We're going to be the people of God that He wants us to be. Let's follow the example of those world changers and be what God wants us to be, willing to sacrifice that which we can to accomplish the goal and the task that God has given to us. World change happens when people are willing to sacrifice. What are you willing to sacrifice to accomplish the task God's placed in your heart? Let's bow for prayer. Father, help us to take the truth that we've heard today. Father, we look at this story of Nehemiah, your servant who wept and mourned and fasted and prayed, sought your face, sought your blessing, and then got up and did something. I pray, Father, that men and women today will make some commitments to do something. Father, you always call for a commitment from us. You always call for us to do, not just to be hearers, but doers. And I pray, Father, you'd help us today to be doers, not just hearers. Father, help us to become what you want us to be. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just say to the Lord this morning, God, where do you want me to serve? God, let me see the need. Help me not ignore the need that is around me. Help me to get out of my comfort zone and be willing to sacrifice to serve you. Just between you and God, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to do. What is it that God wants you to do? It may not be being a soldier. It may just be serving. Maybe there's some area where he wants you to serve. Maybe it's serving in his church. Maybe it's serving in the community. Maybe it's a particular ministry. But God, I'm willing to do what you've called me to do. Would you make that commitment to God? Maybe you're here and you've never trusted Christ. Let me tell you this again. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. He suffered and died and paid the penalty of our sin in our place. There's a lot of people who think in order to get to heaven, you've got to be good, you've got to do certain things. The Bible says we're all sinners, and there's no way we can be good enough to get to heaven. That's why Jesus died for us. He died to pay for our sins. He was buried and rose from the dead. And the only way we can get to heaven is by saying to Jesus, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for me, and I'm asking you to take me to heaven. There's no way we can ever earn our way to heaven. Maybe if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you'd say, preacher, I'm here. I don't know for sure. If I died right now, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know that, but I don't. And by an uplifted hand, you'd say, preacher, pray for me. If Jesus died for me, I want to receive him. In fact, let me ask you this. If you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven because you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you've asked him to be your Lord and Savior and God, and you know you're going to heaven, would you slip up your hand as a testimony that I know I'm going to heaven? Wonderful. You can put your hands down. If you couldn't, you can just say to Jesus right where you are, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell, but I know you died for me, and I'm receiving you as my Lord and Savior and God today. I hope you'll do that. If you're here and you say, preacher, I'd like to do that, please pray for me. I'd like to pray for you. Anybody like that? I'd like to pray for you. Slip up your hand. Let me pray for you. Okay, let's stand together as we pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray you'll help us to take what we've heard and live it. I pray, Father, we will take the truth of sacrifice and determine that we're going to live your life and not live our life. You were willing to die so that we could live. Help us to live accordingly. And Father, I ask this in the name of Jesus, that he might be glorified.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.